Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Niver. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Niver.
In the second chapter of Luke, we read of a man whose name was Simeon. We don't know if he was an old man or a young man or middle-aged. The text doesn't tell us. But he was a man who was ready to die. In Luke chapter 2, verse 29, he says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace." And he's talking about dying. "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Now when Simeon says this, he's not wanting to die because he's so miserable with life. He's not wanting to die because his circumstances are so troublesome that he just thinks, "I can't deal with this anymore." He was a happy man. He was a man at peace. And he says to the Lord, "Let me go now. Let me die in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Now, what did he see? On that day, a peasant woman who was too poor to offer up a lamb when she brought her son in after 8 days, she was offering up 2 turtle doves because she didn't have the money to offer up a lamb. She was a peasant. And she came in to the temple, as every Jewish woman did, to offer up on the 8th day their son to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice and to have him circumcised. Perhaps many people had gone in the temple that day. And if you would have looked at this woman, you wouldn't have thought of anything unusual. But Simeon saw something that no one else saw. Let's begin reading in verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." Now listen to this description of Simeon: just and devout. Now sometimes when we read in the Scriptures and we read those kinds of descriptions of people, we think, well, they were just really righteous, good, moral people who never did anything wrong and always did that which was right. And that's the way they lived back in those days. Well, that is commendable if someone does live that way, but that's not what this is talking about. When it says Simeon was just, that means he was justified before God. He was a righteous man. The very righteousness of Christ was his, and that's how he was justified before God. Before God, he was absolutely just. There was no sin on him because of the gospel. Now, not only is he described as just, he's described as devout. The word means cautious, reverent. Oh, he had a reverence for the Lord. And the Scripture says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the comfort of Israel. He's waiting on the gospel. Christ Jesus himself is the consolation of Israel, but he was waiting on him. Now, what does it mean to wait? Well, we have many examples in the Scriptures of people who failed to wait. And if we can see in what manner they failed to wait, maybe we can understand something about what it means to wait on the Lord. Because how often do we read this phrase, "wait on the Lord," and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. King Saul, in 1 Samuel 15, was waiting for Samuel to come to offer a sacrifice. You see, in the Old Testament, only the priest could offer a sacrifice. If someone else tried it, they were judged. I think of Uzziah, the king. He offered up a sacrifice when only the priest should offer the sacrifice. And he took it upon himself to do it. And the Lord turned him into a leper. And he killed him. Now, Saul, he's waiting for Samuel to arrive so Samuel can offer up the sacrifice. And Samuel doesn't come when he said he would come. He was hindered somehow. So Saul became afraid. He thought, well, we have to offer up the sacrifice, so I'll do it. So he offered the sacrifice without being the priest. Remember, only the priest can approach God. But he offered the sacrifice, bypassing the priest, and God rejected him. He failed to wait. Now, I'm waiting on the Lord to represent me before the Father. I'm not going to come on my own. I'm not going to bypass Christ. I'm going to wait on Him. You know, if you've got a key to the door, and that's the only way I can get in, I'm going to wait on you to get there. We're waiting. I'm waiting on the Lord to bring me into glory. I'm waiting on Him to bring me into the Father's presence. I'm not coming on my own. I'm waiting on Him. And it says He was waiting on the consolation of Israel. Let me read to you from the Old Testament just what the consolation of Israel is. Isaiah says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And this message is not to everybody, this message of comfort. It's to His people, those who believe. There's no comfort for the unbeliever, but for the believer, there's comfort. He says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. The battle's over. Christ has won. All sin has been put away. Nothing to strive for. Her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. It's all put away, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now that's the message I'm waiting for. And I'm waiting for the Lord Himself to bring me into the presence of the Father because of this message of comfort. Now this Simeon is just and devout, and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. And we'll see what happens when the Holy Ghost is on someone as we go on reading about this man, Simeon. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Lord appeared to him and revealed to him that he was not going to see physical death until he had actually physically seen the Lord's Christ. Now what is meant by Christ or the Christ? It's not Jesus Christ's last name. The Christ means the anointed. It's the New Testament word for the Old Testament word Messiah, the anointed. Now in the Old Testament, there were three people who were anointed. First, God's prophet was anointed. Second, God's priest was anointed. And third, God's king was anointed. This speaks of the offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's prophet. He brings the word of God. He is God's priest. He is the one who brings men, to God. He brings me into the presence of the Father. He makes me acceptable because of His priesthood. He is God's king, the ruling, reigning Lord of lords and King of kings. And He's the Lord's Christ. We have man-made prophets and man-made priests and man-made kings, and what good can they do to us? Nothing at all. But He's the Lord's Christ, and it was revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now let's go on reading, verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, remember they were very poor, they couldn't offer up a lamb. They were just offering up two turtle doves to do for him after the custom of the law. then, this man Simeon, took him up in his arms. When he saw the child Jesus, he knew who he was. Everybody else didn't. They just saw a young child of a peasant. But he saw him as the Lord's Christ, as the promised Messiah. Then took he him up in his arms, and bless God, he was so thankful, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart. I love the way the death of the believer is called a departure. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to your word. I'm ready to die. I don't want to live anymore. I'm ready to die rejoicing. And here's why. Verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Jesus Christ is God's salvation. When Simeon held that baby up in his arms, he said, this is God's salvation. Salvation is a person. Salvation is not a plan. Salvation is not something you do. It's not something God helps you with. Salvation is a person. He Himself is God's salvation. If I'm saved, it's because I'm in Him. Because He Himself is God's salvation. Listen to what He said about Himself. In John chapter 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way. Not I'll show you the way. I am the way. I am the truth. Not I'll tell you the truth, or I'll teach you the truth, but I myself am the truth. I am the life. Not I'll give you life, but I myself am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now in John chapter 11, He was speaking to Mary. And we read beginning in He was speaking to Martha. In verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. I already understand the doctrine of the resurrection. And I know that on the last day, when everybody's raised, he'll be raised up also. She had her doctrine down straight. But look at our Lord's reply. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that I myself am the resurrection? It's not an event. I am the resurrection and I am the life. Christ Jesus is God's salvation. I wish I could say this the way it ought to be said. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, He hath blessed us, speaking to every believer. God the Father has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. There isn't any spiritual blessing that I do not have. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ, not in you. In Christ, all of God's mercy, all God has for the sinner, all of God's salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you speak of God's salvation, you've got to start with election. God's ancient choice of His people before time began. Now, the Bible without doubt teaches that the saved are those who God elected to be saved before time began. Now, I'm not going to apologize for God for this. I glory in this. This is who God is. He chose who would be saved. But listen to this scripture. Ephesians 1, 4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him. There's where election is. According as He hath chosen us in Him. Before the foundation of the world. God never looked at His elect apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. I've always been viewed in Christ. I've always been united to Christ. Even though I was born into this world dead in sin with no love for God, I was born a child of wrath, even as others, as far as my nature goes. But if I'm one of God's elect, I've always been viewed in the Beloved. He said, "Behold, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Christ, God loves me as I'm in Christ. God accepts me as I'm in Christ. God sees me in Christ. I'm united to Him. He Himself is salvation. I was chosen in Him. I am justified by His righteousness. His righteousness became mine. On the cross, my sin became His. That's why He died. He became guilty of my sin. And His righteousness becomes mine so that I'm actually justified by His righteousness. My sins are washed away by His blood. I'm given new life and regenerated by His Spirit. I'm preserved in Christ Jesus. Every aspect of salvation is in Christ. The reason God forgives me of my sins is not because I'm sorry, although I am. It's not because I've asked for forgiveness, although I do. The reason God forgives me of my sins is for Christ's sake. Wholly for Christ's sake. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." He Himself is God's salvation. He's the whole of it. Not 99% of it. He is the whole of it. Don't look for it. Don't expect it anywhere else. Listen to this scripture. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, "In Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In His And you, this is every believer, and you are complete in Him. You lack nothing. All that God requires you have, because all you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Scripture says He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. All I have is Christ, but what else could I possibly want? What else could I possibly need? He Himself is God's salvation. And now Simeon says, "I'm ready to die. Let me depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And it says in verse 31, "Which thou hast prepared." Which thou hast prepared. This is the salvation of God's preparation. Now, this preparation began before time began. Remember when the Lord said, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In time, our Lord prepared this salvation on the cross. Remember when He said, "I go and prepare a place for you," in John chapter 14? He didn't mean, "I'm going up to heaven to tidy things up and get you ready to be there." No, He says, "I'm going to the cross to prepare a place for you." Salvation's of God's preparation. It's what He does. He says, "Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, Jew and Gentile as well, all fleshly distinctions have been dropped." He says in verse 32, "A light." This salvation He's holding in His arms at this time that makes Him feel like, "I can die in peace." He says He's a light to lighten the Gentiles. He's the light as to how God can save Gentiles, Jews, or anybody else. I have light as to why a holy God can look at me and be pleased with me and embrace me and accept me. And that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that light that shows us how God can be just and holy and yet justify the ungodly in a way that honors His justice. He's a light to lighten the Gentiles, and He is the glory. He Himself is the glory of his people Israel. Now, in John chapter 17, verse 22, he said, "The glory which thou gavest me," he's praying to his father. He says, "The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Now, Christ Jesus is my glory. Truly, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And we do glory in the Lord in that he is the glory of the Lord. Now, in verse 33, now, Simeon had been saying these glorious things regarding this child in his arms. And Mary and Joseph are sitting there listening. Now, they had already heard from an angel. They'd heard from the wise men. They'd heard from the shepherds. They'd heard glorious things about their son. They heard through Elizabeth and Zacharias. Oh, the things they heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to what it says in verse 33. "And Joseph and his mother, Mary, marveled at those things which were spoken of him." They saw this infant that seemingly seemed to be so helpless, held up in somebody else's arm, and they find out this is the Lord's Christ. This is the promised Messiah. This is God the Son. They marveled at him. And Simeon goes on to say, verse 34, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set, is ordained. This child is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." He's going to have a lot of people speaking against him. "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now, Simeon is speaking prophetically, and he's telling Mary, a sword is going to pierce through your soul. And I have no doubt what he's referring to is the fact that your son is going to be nailed to a cross. He knew this is the Lamb of God. Not only is he God's Christ, he's God's Lamb. And he's going to die for the sins of his people. And Mary's going to witness that. She's going to see her son nailed to a cross. And a sword's going to pierce through her soul as she beholds that. But you know, that's the only way Mary could be saved, if her son is nailed to a cross. Because her son is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way a sinner can be saved is for Christ to die for their sins and for him to give his righteousness to them. But still, as Mary beholds this, oh, a sword will pass through her soul. But notice he says this child is set for the fall of many. He's set for the fall of many. In Romans chapter 9, I think we can see what this means. He's set for the fall of many. In verse 30 of Romans chapter 9, we read, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith." They weren't seeking God, but God sought them and did something for them. He intervened in their life. They weren't seeking God. They were fine without Him, but He did something for them. Verse 31, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness," they thought, well, we're working for God. We're seeking God. We're seeking to serve Him. "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone." They fell and tripped over the Lord Jesus Christ. As it's written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Now, I could say a lot of things about the offense of the Lord Jesus Christ, why men are offended by Him, but here's the bottom line. Men cannot deal with salvation being altogether in Him. They can't deal with them having no control in this thing of salvation, but you don't. Salvation is in Christ. Salvation is for those God gave to Christ. And there's nothing you can do to save yourself. You're in God's hands. It's up to Him as to whether or not He'll save you. You know, people use the phrase, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You're not going to find that kind of language in Scripture. The question is not, will you accept Him? The question is, will He accept you? Now, people are offended by the fact that they have no control in this thing of salvation. He set for the fall of many. Many are going to stumble. Many are going to fall. But not only is He set for the fall of many, He set for the rising of many. Now, what does it take to rise? Well, first you have to be fallen. You have to be fallen. Have you ever seen that you fell in Adam and you fell in your own sin and that the mess you're in is all your fault and you're at the very bottom and you have no claims on God? If He wills, He could send you to hell with no infringement on His justice. Whatever He does is right. You're fallen. You're helpless. To that fallen person, He set for the rising of many. You see, when He was raised from the dead, everybody He represented was raised from the dead too. And He gives spiritual life to those people. And when He ascended back into glory, they all ascended with Him. He set for the rising of many. And then it says in our text, verse 35, yea, a rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, what are your thoughts concerning the cross? That will show what you really are before God. Do you know what it is to glory in the cross? Do you know what it is to glory in God's salvation and you rejoice that He Himself is salvation? Or do you find it irritating and annoying? You see, it's the gospel that will reveal the true state of our heart. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church or write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Knight, praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.